loose to Drouin. He's going to have a partial break. Bufflin coming over to cut him off. Drouin with Gallagher scores!
There was a playoff series. The people in Toronto would hate Brendan Gallagher by the end of it.
Fowler lost it. Set it up for Weber. There's a cross-ice feed. Here's Gallagher. He scores! Brendan Gallagher with his second.
This is Game Night with Gareth Wheeler on TSN 1050.
All right, we're going to go to Montreal, chat with John Liu in just a couple moments' time. How are you feeling tonight, Toronto? Cold? Yeah. My wife just texted me my dog was so cold that she would not go outside. Would not go into the backyard. She'd be cooped up there like all day. She won't even go in the backyard. It is so cold. But the weekend is here. Bundle up. Get out there. Enjoy it. At Wheeler TSN is where you hit me up on Twitter. The text is 105050. The email live at tsn1050.ca. Terrence Boyd of TFC joining me in about 30 minutes' time. Looking forward to that. Calling in from Cali. I don't even know if he's touched down in Toronto yet, but the TFC season and Champions League right around the corner. Poll questions tonight at Wheeler TSN. Might as well take a moment and dive in. I give you a four-wheeler of poll questions each and every night or day. I'm working a bunch of day shifts, 1 to 4 next week, so you can catch me there Tuesday through Thursday. What do you expect from Kyle Lowry for the rest of the season? We'll deal with this a little bit later on tonight, at least at greater length. Because the guys on the morning show, I heard Fezchuk speaking about this, I heard Landsberg. Just the whole idea that Kyle Lowry was thrown out there in trade rumors, and I don't think the Raptors denied it, like Kyle Lowry was involved in trade rumors. That's fine. This time of year, you're trying to improve, and let's be honest, Kyle Lowry's an all-star, but only in name, really not by game. The way that he played in November, yes, all-star, all day, every day. He was outstanding, but since that time, average, inconsistent, hurt. So I understand why they were looking to move that player. But what do you expect from Kyle Lowry the rest of the season? All-star level performance, good regular season, bad playoffs, plays hurt and struggles, or is just okay? At Wheeler TSA to cast your vote. A record 8 NHL games went to OT or a shootout last night. What's to blame for the parity? Is it the point system? Is it the salary cap? Is it the lack of ambition or the overall average play? Same place, at Wheeler TSN. Have a listen. I thought that Travis Yost said it right. It's false parody. The podcast is going up momentarily at TSN 1050 Radio on Twitter. The biggest threat to the Maple Leafs losing in Montreal tomorrow night is what? Is it Carey Price? Is it being outworked? Is it the fact that the Habs are a better team? Or could it be because of a long and really solid Friday night tonight in Montreal at Wheeler TSN? And quite clearly, many of you, not all of you, didn't like my new Marc Gasol catchphrase, on your mark, get set, Gasol. I think it's pretty brilliant. But I'm giving you the option. Which one's my best one? On your mark, get set, Gasol. Is it the Kawhi 5? Kawhi 5. Right, said Fred, or in honor of the great city of Montreal and Chris Boucher, who's from there, c'est le Boucher. Cast your vote at Wheeler TSN on Twitter. All right, Toronto's buzzing for this game tomorrow night. We've had a couple off days. The city of Montreal needs to be bouncing right now based upon the play as of late by the Montreal Canadiens. 8-1-1 in their last 10. They're on flames, coming off a big win over the Winnipeg Jets last night, and they're rolling into this Saturday's game with all kinds of confidence taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. So what's the temperature in Montreal right now? We know it's cold, but like the actual temperature when it comes to the fan base, let's ask our TSN Montreal Bureau Chief and all-round good guy, looking sharp tonight, by the way, on SportsCenter. I pointed that out to my wife. She agreed. It is the original J. Lou, as in John Lou, at John Lou TSN MTL. What's going on, John? It's been a while. How are you?
Great, thanks, Gareth. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, to answer you, what's it like here in Montreal? Well, the wind is blowing at about 90 kilometers an hour. So it's, I'm trying to stay indoors so I don't get blown down the street. along the icy roads into traffic. So
you used to live here. It's like the exact same, John. It's like winter hit the last 2 weeks. It's been awful.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's been Jekyll and Hyde and roller coaster, like melting and then flash freezing, and it's just been goofy. So
no kidding.
Hopefully, spring's just over a month away.
Yes,
so hopefully we'll be real spring.
So what is the temperature of the fan base right now? Because where they were, I'm assuming, at the start of the year, is completely in a different place where Montreal Canadiens fans are right now.
Yeah. Temperature in the fan base, probably about midsummer high. Humidex around 40 after last night, just because the perception amongst a lot of the fans here leading up into that game is the Jets are one of the favorites to go to the Stanley Cup final from the West. And so for the Canadians to dominate Winnipeg the way they did, it was a high watermark, truly. Talking with some of my colleagues, we were trying to identify when the Canadians, regardless of which collection of Canadians, played a better game than last night. We were hard-pressed to think of one within the last three seasons or more, just because the quality of competition and what the Canadians wanted to achieve and how they did it last night was full marks across the board. So that was a very timely effort and results from the Canadian standpoint with the Leafs on the burner 2 days prior, now one day away. Like, we're really excited about this game because who would have thought that this is where we'd be after 50 plus games into the season, after not seeing each other since opening night. So it's really baffling that there's been that length of time since they've
no
played
kidding.
Each other. But it's really kind of fun because so much of the season has elapsed and they've changed so much, evolved so much in the course of 50 plus games, that this will be a really good gauge on where these two teams stack up against each other.
It's just incredible in this season where everyone seems to be high on the Maple Leafs. The Habs are just 1 point back, and I've laughed about this in recent years. Like, you hear all the banter about different teams in the summer, and it seems like each and every summer there's that one team where we in Toronto and my colleagues just kind of bash on all the time, just like mocking them in the state that they're in. A couple of years ago it was Colorado, then the Avalanche all of a sudden turned into a playoff team, and it seems like last summer it was the Montreal Canadiens, right? Like, they were kind of the laughing stock, yet they're only 1 point back in the Leafs. So what's kind of created this turnaround? What's kind of ignited the flame here, you know, underneath this Montreal Canadiens team?
How long is your segment, Gareth?
Well, you can give us a couple. Like, I was going to get a walk through various factors,
okay.
But
yeah, well, I'll go, you know what, I'm not even going to focus so much on the players as I am as the off-season, last off-season, and then Claude Julien. So we'll start with Marc Bergevin. Compared to where he was one summer prior, where he was unable to re-sign Andrei Markov and Alexander Radulov, he traded to acquire Jonathan Drouin. Then they went through a season where Drouin struggled adjusting from wing to center, and the whole team just crashed and burned because Carey Price was just simply not himself. Shea Weber was hurt the whole season. So really, there was a lot of doom and gloom, and understandably so, heading into the off season with expectations low prior to the start of this season. But in the off season with Marc Bergevin, the moves that he made, first of all, the trade to acquire Max Domi straight up in exchange for Alexander Galchenyuk, a move that was panned by many simply because a lot of people thought that the Canadians gave up production in exchange for Domi, who was coming off two down years in Arizona. Well, that's turned out to be a complete revelation for the Canadians because they acquired Domi as a winger. They put him at center at the start of training camp, and he has filled in fantastically as a second-line center. And then just a few days before training camp opened, Bergevin solved the problem that had been festering all summer about what do they do with their captain, and traded Max Pacioretty for a return that very few would have believed that he could have pulled off from Vegas in Tomáš Tatar. Nick Suzuki, who very likely will make the team next year, is a very high-caliber prospect. Canadian hockey fans are very familiar with him, with his OHL exploits and what he did for Team Canada. with the World Juniors, and a second-round draft choice. So that was a huge haul, and Thomas Tatar has been a tremendous performer, just like Max Domi has. So Bergevin hit a home run with his off-season acquisitions and moves. And then one thing that nobody would have predicted, we saw hints of it through the preseason, was their style of play, how the Canadians under Claude Julien in previous years was still very much a very defensive-oriented club, which is what Julien won a cup with in 2011 with the Bruins. But he changed his philosophy, his MO with the club, along with a couple of new hires on the bench, Dominique Ducharme and Luke Richardson. They basically overhauled the offensive system of how this team plays and attacks, and that's high puck pressure, forechecking, a system that allows the Canadians to really utilize their speed. And if you watch the game against the Jets last night, that's what they did. They forechecked the Jets to death. There's few teams that can skate with the Jets. The Canadians skated the Jets into the ice. And so that was something that nobody predicted, and that's why the expectations were low for the club until they started playing games. They came out of the gates that way and have played that way for the majority of the season, and they're getting results. So it's still a long-winded answer, but that's just the tip of the iceberg, Gareth, on why the Canadians have managed to put in the showing that they have so far and challenge the Leafs for second in the division.
I mean, full credit to Mark Bergevin and his 24-inch pythons, as well as Claude Julien. Like, the work that they've done is quite incredible, and nothing's come easy. These weren't slam dunks, and they really kind of needed an element of risk. As John Liu joins us on the line from Montreal, Leafs Habs tomorrow night. But at the same time, if you're an outsider, and I think if a lot of people aren't seeing the Habs play on a regular basis, they'll say, well, Carey Price must be playing out of his mind, right? That's always the default answer. And he has been playing very well, but it's really the sum of all parts, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest differences with this Canadiens club, is that they're greater than the sum of their best part, which has been Carey Price in previous years. But Price hit a very shaky patch in November where he was just out of sorts, not playing like himself. Like, his game was very... it was out of sync, and he admitted as much around the two-thirds of the way through November after losing to overtime in Buffalo and giving up six goals, where he said that it was upstairs, you know, that his problems were upstairs, hinting that they were mental issues. But then at the end of December, he said that he'd have been fighting a nagging lower body injury for about 7 weeks, which actually took him back to around the time when he said that it was all upstairs. So... with this club, you never really get the complete truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, especially when it comes to Carey Price. So if we take it at face value, okay, well, maybe there was something physical that was in addition to something that might have been messing with his head too. But not long after that, he sat out a few games, did a bit of a refresh, worked very intensely with his goalie coach, Stephane Waite. And then at the end of November, Shea Weber came back from being off for almost a calendar year due to knee and foot surgeries on separate legs. And since that time, we've seen Price solidify his game and get better and better and better, to the point where he's just been lights out, really, for the months of December and especially January. And now he's won 7 in a row. And is looking very much like the Carey Price of 2014-2015 when he won the Vezina and the Hart. And so, yeah, their best player is playing like their best player, but the team in front of him is so much better than the ones that we saw when Price was having to steal games for the Canadians to succeed. So you put all that together, and that is a team that's remarkably consistent.
So it seems like we're pretty close, if not there already, at a point saying, you know what, this team has substance. This just isn't a flash in the pan, or at least for this season, mind you. We have never seen I at least have not seen a Maple Leafs Montreal Canadiens playoff series in my lifetime. Obviously, the divisional structure, that had something to do with it. In fact, the last time they faced each other in a playoffs, it was a year before I was born. So this is what a lot of people really want to see. There's an appetite for it. What's the perception of the Maple Leafs and what they are in Montreal? Do people just kind of look at Toronto and say, oh, they're just a group of people that are overhyping their team? Or do they look at that potential playoff matchup and say, as good as it would be, uh-oh, the Maple Leafs could be pretty damn good?
Well, to be honest with you, Garrett, in the last couple of years, ever since the Leafs hit rock bottom and ended up with Austin Matthews, but they already had some good prospects in the hopper, like Nylander and Mitch Marner and Morgan Riley. Canadian fans, the ones who don't have outright hatred for the Leafs in the city of Toronto, grudgingly admire the Maple Leafs and what Lou Lamoriello did to position the club in order to take advantage of being so bad for a number of years in consecutive consecutively. And so when the Canadians were struggling mightily, many felt that the Canadians should have taken a similar path, which was just, you know, just burn it to the ground, you know, trade the veterans, trade Carey Price, you know, just make this team as weak as possible. In essence, the Canadians wanted Bergevin to tank. But that is just not an option in this market. Just because of the history and the pride attached to the franchise, that there's no way the Canadians would ever take that path. And so there's, you know, fans looking towards Toronto thinking, it's like, well, would be nice if their team, if the Canadians could somehow find a way of getting high-caliber prospects. But you know what? Yeah, they had a terrible year last year, and it netted them Jesperi Kotkaniemi. And so, not enough. He wasn't Rasmus Dahlin, but you know what? Kotkaniemi is a whole issue unto himself.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, like that's a complete tangent, and I'm not going to get into him specifically, but the fact of the matter is that, yeah, because the Canadians have been able to put all those parts together with Kotkaniemi being one of the significant contributors this season, absolutely, you'll look at what a Leafs-Canadian series could entail, and that would just be absolutely epic. And this is when we really have to thank the NHL for realigning the playoff structure, because you knew it at some point, Canadians, Leafs would face each other in the playoffs. And it just so happens that, you know, with both teams playing a very similar style, up-tempo, but with defensive presence and, you know, good young talent, that a series between these two,
sure,
it could be a track meet or it could be a defensive struggle, but just the passion and the intensity and the rivalry between the two markets and fan bases would be just something else. So, yeah, it would be one for the ages, absolutely.
Although I strongly dislike this forced playoff interdivision format, like, I would have much preferred a 3-6 or a 2-7.
Oh, sure.
You know,
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that would be preferable.
You know, same thing happened with the Jets and the Predators last year, though. I mean, that should have
exactly
been a conference final, but it was second round.
Total.
You know? So, yeah, but at least you get to see it, you know?
Well,
don't be sad that it's gone. Be happy that it happened, right?
It should be fun tomorrow night. And look, like, if the Habs beat the Leafs, I'm hoping when you're inside that Montreal dressing room, someone comes out and says that they are all hype. They're a bunch of young kids who've proven nothing, and we're going to give them every run for the money that we can. I want to hear some fire come out of that room, Johnny.
Well, the Canadians do have a chip on their shoulder.
Good.
You know, from prior to the season, just because so many people had written off before,
right,
a puck had dropped on the regular season. So they've been using that as fuel to some degree. They don't say it a lot, but, you know, hey, you know, professional athletes with prides and egos in place, they don't want to be diminished. They don't want to feel like that they don't deserve some measure of success. And so, yeah, the Canadians are definitely they feel like that they were disrespected, and so, yeah, they're relishing proving people wrong.
Good stuff, John. Thank you so much for doing this on a cold Friday night. You look great on television tonight.
Thank you.
Glasses. You're going to have to let me know where you got them so I can add a similar pair. You would look better, and I'd give you credit as, you know, kind of the footnote of why I got them, but I love the look. And hopefully it's a good-looking game tomorrow night. Habs-Leafs, always big on a Saturday night, and you'll be covering it all at John Liu, TSN MTL. Thanks, John. Great catching up, pal.
Yeah, likewise, Gareth. Thanks again for having me on.
Thanks, buddy. John Liu, the original J. Liu, joining us right here on Game Night.